This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Here we go with tower number two, G-Bag Nation here, 105.3 The Fan. I got the top sports stories of the day right here to start off your 3 o'clock hour. Now, Rangers player show coming up at 3:20. Rich Rice has been trying to confirm we were going to get Alejandro Osuna throughout the day, but there was no confirmation yet. So the Rangers player show coming up in 20 minutes. Still don't know who we're chatting with.
TBD.
But I'm willing to float this for Osuna. You know, if he wants to go, if he wants to not go, whenever he wants to do this. From the moment I saw the ball jump off his bat in spring training and watch him flying around first base, the helmet came off, the hair was flowing, and then he attacked second base with a head first slide like he was Pete Rose, you know?
Yeah.
So this is my guy.
Yeah, the scout's eye for Gavin Dawson lit up in that. Yeah. I don't think I've ever seen you that baseball excited. Yeah. It was like, oh my gosh, guys, we found one. This is the next great.
And then I was watching a video from Sandler over the weekend, and he said dude can play center field really well. So I know we were wondering about that. Usually you don't see a shorter guy, but the speed, the instincts, and apparently enough arm. You saw that he can certainly dive on a ball coming in. That's no problem at all. So we're standing by Rangers player show coming up in 20 minutes. I did ask Sands as well. I was pretending that I was talking to my sources, but I just wanted to check in with him. He's going to join us at 4:40. And I said, is everything cool with DeGrom? And he said, yeah, everything's fine. You know, just 81 pitches. He'd gone deep the last two starts.
103 pitches last time out. And they thought maybe that might have had some play into it.
So, I mean, he's 36 years old. He's coming off another Tommy John. I think the Rangers are being smart. I mean, this is just, you know, they're doing it right. And unfortunately, you know, he couldn't get the win despite what, giving up just two runs. I know he had a guy on when he came out. But, you know, really nice job by Jacob DeGrom. But no injury concern or anything like that. Didn't strike anybody out. I guess Sandler's explanation for that, the mechanics maybe not where he'd like.
His location was really unlike him normally. And what he usually can do is if he misses just off the plate, he could get people to swing. And it wasn't close enough where he was getting people to swing. So, you know, sometimes he's got this chase, you know, its ability like, oh, they think the ball's in the zone and now it's 2 inches outside off the corner and now they're chasing. Got him, you know, that kind of thing. And the misses that he had yesterday, as you're watching it, it was like they weren't even close. Yeah. Like his misses are usually like, whoa, you know, and then they put the box up and it's right on the edge and you're like going, you know, damn umpire. You know,
might have caused a lot of those high stress pitches. You know, they say there's the regular pitches and then you're in trouble and maybe 81 feels like 110 right now.
I give the Blue Jays a lot of credit, and the Blue Jays haven't been playing great.
They don't strike out though. They're the third lowest strikeout team in the bigs.
And they made DeGrom throw a lot of pitches yesterday.
Yeah.
Well, couldn't win like that. Tonight you have another sub-2 ERA guy in Eovaldi going out there, and we'll see if they can get some runs going. We are a third of the way into the season now. Yeah. Some fans are deciding it's time to stop believing. Did I detect that a little bit of that in you, Woolchuck? Like, you still love the Rangers, you're still watching for signs, but until further notice, we're just kind of like, yeah, it's probably what they are.
I watched Woolchuck pull the belief card out of his pocket and turn it in.
I saw that too.
I know. I mean, on Friday,
it was jarring.
I felt like that White Sox series was it. Like, you need to go in there and you need to sweep them. Their team that was 20 games under 500. You swept the Rockies. They were bad. You got to take care of business against the bad teams. And to drop 2 of 3 and almost you get swept yourself. We've seen enough sample size where it's been like hope since the World Series. This offense was going to figure it out. They're not figuring it out. They're just not good enough. Marcus Semien, I said it before the season started. He was never going to be the same offensive player. Like, that part of his game, but unfortunately, it's a contract that's not movable.
I mean, could he just be average, not the worst?
Right. I don't know.
Exactly. Crazy. It doesn't have to be this bad. Marcus
Garcia's just hasn't had that. We talked about him being streaky. It's just been all bad. He hasn't even had that 2-week stretch yet where you've seen him be able to carry a lineup. That hasn't been there. Jonah Heim, it was clearly a career year in 2023 for him. offensively. And, I mean, he is still a really good framing defensive catcher. But, yeah, I'm all out of hopium. Hope in the strategy. And for a year and a half, I think we know what this team is, and that's a 500 baseball team.
I think, you know, the hope really comes in your pitching is great. You have enough good hitters that CY could maybe make something happen here, you know. And until they do something, I'm with you. I'm not going to expect this offense to come together as is. But Corey Seager's going to get healthy. They did have a couple of weeks stretch where I think they had the 12th best offense in baseball, and they could not sustain that. As Brian said, they've lost 11 times while giving up three runs or less this season. But Seager is loosely targeting Friday, according to Sean McFarland. Could be back earlier. He's been running and fielding, and I think took some live BP over the 3-day weekend. And Evan Carter could be headed for a rehab start this weekend. But I think you really need to get resolution at second base. And, you know, then after that, like, who are the guys individually that you'd be look at like you're actively preventing us from winning? I don't know if there's anybody else out there. I think this is one big unfortunate problem. I don't know how you handle it. Like, do you make a superstar at 34 years old a utility player? You know, do you just buy it out and say, hey, good luck going somewhere else? I don't know how this is going to end, but it's got to end at some point. You can't have that much of an anchor dragging you down. I don't know when you do that. Is that after the trade deadline? Do you try to make something happen until the end of July with Simeon? And then if you can't like eat some of the salary and have a team take him, but you can no longer, you know, convince me that this is going to resolve itself after, what are we looking at now? 8 months of baseball post World Series and Marcus Simeon just not good enough. Okay. You want some Cowboys hope though? The Commanders faced these quarterbacks in consecutive weeks to close the year. This is off the Twitter account of Warren Sharp. He's doing a lot of prep for his annual publication every year before training camps. He releases like these unbelievable reports on, you know, what's going on with teams and individuals and what they could do to get better. But here's how they close. Backup Cooper Rush, Will Levis, Jake Haener, Spencer Rattler, Kenny Pickett, Michael Penix Jr., who was a rookie, Trey Lance. It was the number one easiest quarterback schedule of 2024. And, you know, the topic is that a little bit of fool's gold? Maybe, but they sure did look good in the playoffs, Wolchuk.
Yeah, like they made the NFC Championship game. So what are we doing looking at the last 5 weeks of their regular season? They made the NFC Championship game. How'd they do in the playoffs? In the most important games. I don't really care what Warren Sharp is saying there with the quarterbacks they played at the end. That doesn't mean a damn bit of difference to me. They went into Detroit, they killed them. They've got a quarterback now that's really good and really scary. If he stays healthy, they're going to be a problem. They've got a lot of money. Can they keep the coaching staff together? I don't know. The offensive line, I think, is one that they've always got a question about. But there is, I think your best hope is the sophomore slump. That's the best hope I think you've got. That maybe the NFL kind of catches up to what Jaden Daniels likes to do. Maybe they watch a little bit of those two games that Mike Zimmer kind of gave him fits, and the NFL starts to do a little copycat there, and you see Jaden Daniels kind of come back to earth a little bit. But their roster, it's only going to keep getting better and better if they use their funds and sign the right players directly and continue to draft well. So I don't know. I mean, what they did in the postseason was clearly a problem. They're a good football team.
I don't want to take anything away from your magnificent prediction from last year, picking Washington to have a good year. That was good. But I also think that Lions game was kind of a one-off. I think it was horribly coached by the Lions. For some reason, they didn't run it, and Jared Goff became the absolute worst version of Jared Goff. Beyond that, they beat the Buccaneers 23-20, you know, and then they got crushed by the Eagles. So, I don't know. I think there is some hope maybe that Washington isn't that monster that they might be evolving to, and that Philly takes a step back. Okay, up next here, of course, it's a game four of the Western Finals tonight. What do the Stars need to do to get the win tonight, boys?
Oh. Man, I think it's Miko and Otter just got to be really at the height of their powers. Hopefully you get some guys, some other dudes to step up, but you got to have your best players being their best, because McDavid and the best players for the Oilers, they're stepping up. They're getting it done. Your big guys got to do it as well.
Yeah. And maybe Rantanen isn't on the same level as McDavid, but he's on the same level of Draisaitl.
Yeah. He's a top 10 player.
Yeah. We were hopeful. And still, you know, the ability, but you know, that Hyman and those guys, I mean, they're just, they're guys down the line are just so much better than what you're playing with right now. And that's, they're creating opportunities. They're creating chances. They're scoring goals. They're assisting on goals. You know, I think the one thing for Dallas tonight, for once, try and be the team that's up 2-0. Don't be the team that's down 1-0 with, you know, 8 minutes left in the first.
I think they've only scored twice.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean,
they can't even score at all on the road. Well, it's like, what are we doing?
I'm just asking, let's have a period where, you know, you're not down 2-0.
Come out with the energy like you did in the second period on Sunday.
Yeah, well, they're 6-7 when the other team scores first. I mean, they have to play a lot of games like that, and it's a tough strategy there.
Yes, I just feel like that if that crowd at Edmonton is very similar to the crowd you have here. That you know, Edmonton, those players feed on that. And McDavid said that out. He goes, I can't imagine a better arena in the league to play than what we have here. So you know, keep that fan base down if you can, but don't just immediately, you know, all of a sudden be down on the scoreboard like 2-0 going in to the second, and all of a sudden it turns into desperation hockey.
Well, I'm desperate to see them play well. You know, after these first three games where you feel like, man, really only one period has gone our way, you know, and then you reflect on what happened against Colorado, what happened against Winnipeg there with the unbelievable historic run from Rantanen, the hat trick from Granlund, and then they have a situation with their goalie where he's, you know, complete garbage on the road. So, you know, I do think, like, my confidence in the Stars right now is taking a hit. Like, they've had breaks to get here, and now maybe the breaks are drying up.
I just wonder if we're making Skinner look better than he is.
With poor shooting. Because, yeah, we're not finding the corners.
Because one of these things, like, when he gave up those goals, you know, all those power play goals and stuff, we were talking about he didn't see the puck, screens were a problem. You know, he was struggling with all that. Mm-hmm. I still think that same guy's there.
That guy is absolutely there. I think he was really damn good in game three. I think that he was. I don't think he can consistently do that, though.
Hit and miss, though.
Look
right?
at the Oilers' positioning around him and how the Stars cannot get somebody out of position. You're not only shooting against him. The entire team is back there and blocking well. How many times has a Stars player gotten within about 10 feet of goal and he's sitting there for a half second like, where do I go with this right now? It's because their positioning and awareness is amazing. Their team defense is making Skinner this good.
They had a couple of pucks. He slid over one time and made a save. I forgot who it was.
It was Sagan. Chance. Rantanen hit a post.
But all of a sudden the puck is... like just a little bit of hesitation allows him to slide all the way across. Where if that puck is right on the tape, you're controlling it, and now it's just a shot instead of having to double clutch it a little bit. You know, that thing's in the goal. That thing, they bury those, but they need to get back onto just the screens. I think are important. I'd say make this guy. He's a tall goalie, but make him have to try and find the puck. I just see that's to me. I've seen shots where the puck has gone past him. And he's still on the right side of the cage, but the puck's on the left side, and he hasn't moved.
He can't. He's not the athletic goalie is. He's not, to stand in front and, you know, I'm going to block with my body. If you get it going side to side there, and they've had some good opportunities, that's where, like, he's not going to be able to kick slide from left to right quite like you've seen Otter make some pretty tantalizing saves this postseason. I do think you just need to keep peppering it. I think the Stars found their game in the second period there. You can't turn the puck over and neutralize. And they've had their forwards do that, which is a problem. They've put their D-men in terrible positions. Roope Hintz did it in game two. Mikko Rantanen did it in game three. These are plays that make you feel like when you're really not, these are evenly matched teams. Edmonton's not worlds ahead of the Dallas Stars here.
No.
Do they have the best player? Yes. I think it's panicking in the moment if you're going to say, okay, Edmonton's way better than Dallas here. I think the scoreboard's absolutely been one that's ballooned, and it hasn't been an indicator of how close these games have been. But the Stars have not helped themselves when it comes to them capitalizing on Edmonton's mistakes, and any mistake they've made, Edmonton has made them pay for it.
We need to see it tonight, though. You know, I think this is must win.
It is must win.
Going down 3-1, you'd feel good coming back and extending the series, but heading back up there, especially if you can't get many goals going tonight. But we have to see it. And if they don't, Wolchuk, I mean, on that note, 4-2 last year, 2-1, the same pace continues and the games look similar with an offensive outage. I think Edmonton might just have their postseason formula a little more refined. Is that fair?
Sometimes you run into a team that's got your number. Like I think Colorado and Dallas. Dallas has theirs. And might be Edmonton has ours.
Yeah, you just can't tonight because you're not going to beat them three straight if they win tonight.
No, sir.
It's not going
to
happen.
Congrats to the Aggies. Mackenzie Mbako, a projected second-round pick, will withdraw from the draft, return for his junior season. Decided to withdraw, focus on becoming a first-round pick next year. So that's a nice little win as basketball players are making their final decisions. Do they want to stay into the draft or do they want to come on back to college? I think college looks better than ever. You know, I don't want to go hang around with a bunch of grumpy old men worried about their money. Let's hang out here in college, maybe go to a Final Four and still get a nice check, especially if I'm maybe a second rounder.
Right.
It's easy. You know, let's keep this train going as long as possible. Okay, well, step aside. Rangers player show coming up next here on your home of the Rangers, 105.3 The
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
All right, welcome back. It's the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. It is time now for the Rangers Player Show here on your home of the Rangers. Standing by for Alejandro Osuna, one of my favorite Rangers. I put on Twitter over the weekend, my favorite Ranger is now a Ranger. As soon as we saw him play in the minor league, or in surprise, I started asking, well, CY and Jared almost on a daily basis. Found out he was going to debut in Double A. So I started asking him, when's he going to get to Triple A? And then within 3 weeks after he got there, he's in the big leagues, debuted over the weekend, had a hell of a catch, had two hits yesterday, and his parents and his entire family were there watching.
That was cool, man.
So
they were looking like they were having a great time. Everybody high-fiving everybody. I thought that was a lot of fun. He's a heck of a player. You did. I remember, I think it was between cocktails that you were like, yeah, this Osuna. And I'm like, yeah, sure, yeah, whatever. But you had the scout's eye on him. You sure did.
The ball jumped off the bat, went into the gap, and he was flying.
He was flying.
You can tell those high-hustle baseball players when you see one, and they usually won't be denied.
Well, I think he made the final out in the ninth as far as made the defensive play. And they showed him jogging off the field, and his uniform was completely dirty.
Love it.
And you're like going, okay, baseball player. Eye black, completely dirty uniform right there. So hopefully he can carry on, man. He's done a hell of a job so far.
Well, they need a spark, and we'll ask him if he feels up to that challenge. I mean, that's a lot of pressure as a rookie. Like, hey, we need a spark. How you feeling?
Yeah.
You know, get out there and
You're on a team that doesn't hit very well right now. What are you going to do to, like, take every at bat?
Osuna can't help himself, though, but provide a spark. That's just who he is and what he does.
Got electricity coursing through his veins, and beyond that, he took a walk in his first AB. Right,
just seeing the ball,
seven pitch walk.
Good eye.
Presence at the plate.
He's kind of like your Cooper Beebe, I think.
Just a get it done kind of guy.
Just like got it. Yeah. You just jumped on and were like, "That's my guy right there." And now he's gone on to flourish.
Well, this segment of the G-Bag Nation is brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car, truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. Franklin Frankel, the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. It's also brought to you by Cars for Kids. You can donate today at carsforkids.org. Yeah, you know, the great news with these Rangers, and I mentioned it earlier, is the Mariners are not running away with this division right now.
Yeah.
So, I think CY, we didn't get to talk to him yesterday. But that's usually when the Rangers general manager show is 4:20 with you on Mondays. But, you know, for me, what this guy means to competitiveness and going for it, he sets the standard across DFW sports. And I don't think he'll be denied. Whatever it's going to take as far as freeing up payroll, using prospects, like, he will be exhaustive. And it's close now, isn't it? Are we close? Like, how many players legitimately need to be traded out from this baseball team? Is it Semien for one? Who else? Who else has to go? Adolis Garcia is playing some of the best defense of his entire life.
Mentally, he's great.
I think Evan Grant wrote about that.
His knee looks healthy finally. Or maybe he's moving around better out there. Yeah.
Doesn't that suggest he's young enough to do this? And maybe he's just cold like hitters can do? I mean, hitters can be cold for 2 months. No doubt about it. And he's still within the range of a hot month is going to pull him.
Well, he had a really nice double in that win they had in Chicago, though, right? Went off it right in the gap there. I mean, he's capable, but man, it seems like we just have not seen enough of those big moments from him like we did during the championship season.
You know, it's unfortunate is he's still got the most RBIs on your team right now.
I mean, Young is within range. Langford, good. You know, had a great bomb. What was that, 114 miles an hour off the bat?
Yeah.
Josh Smith, within range of good. Now, you don't have anybody absolutely ripping the cover off the ball. Himes receded a little bit, but we're still at 254 with him. Berger is on fire, right? Yeah. He's making up for lost time in a big way. And I know he had the collar yesterday, but he's heating up and slugging. And since his return, he's definitely within range. I think the only players that played yesterday that have confirmed, like, hey, we got to move on from you, Semien, and then maybe Haggerty slowing down after that first couple of weeks that he had. He's not seeing the ball quite as well as he was.
I was hoping for a little more out of Higashioka, who's going to be in the lineup today. Thought he'd provide a little bit more pop with the bat to this point.
Yeah, a key hit, though, the other day, but you're right.
He's got one home run, 10 RBIs. Yeah. I mean, his OPS is sub 570, 215 average. He hasn't been great. Mm-hmm. He needs to step it up. I mean, we can't. Yeah, all these guys do. The offense is bad. I don't see it really. I mean, Jock Peterson's now got the broken hand. I don't know when he's going to be coming back. I think you need to be looking to trade away some guys. I'd be open to trading Evan Carter at this point if he got back and started to get hot.
Just because of the health factor, right?
Yeah, I that's a guy that I'd maybe look to move on from. There's some issues going on in those walls right now. Mm. And I'm not going to run with like a lot of whispers here, but there might be some. We talked about culture with the Cowboys. We might have some culture problems right now.
I mean, expectations plus disappointment is going to create toxicity. Well, nobody can hide from it.
Well, you just worry that the pitchers have done such a fine job of doing, you know, holding it up their end, and maybe it's a little bit of a frustrating factor that you're gonna sit in your locker and you're not gonna say anything to anybody walking by because you go out there and you pitch your ass off. You know, and then you get pulled from the game. It's a 2-1 game, and you find a way to, and it's a loss.
I think that other word would describe their hitting more than their pitching.
Yeah, right?
But you're right. 11 losses where they've allowed three or less in it. I think
58% of their games are three runs or less.
Yeah, ouch. I just don't know how you.
It's terrible.
It takes a really strong player to sit there and say, "Man, it's okay. The hitting will come around." Especially when you're out there doing your job every night. I mean, every time these relievers come in now in the seventh, eighth, ninth, it's a high leverage situation. Yeah. I mean, they don't have any games where they just go out there and let's close this thing out. It's nice and tidy and easy to do. Every time they go out there, they're in a 2-1 game, a 3-2 game.
I mean, the one time they did score, I guess that was Saturday's game. They had five runs, and they end up just getting shellacked. Yeah. You know, their one opportunity of the week maybe where they scored more than three runs and, you know, not working out. So, okay, I don't know what happened with Osuna. I was texting with Rich Rice, and maybe I had the communication mistake. Maybe he's mad at me right now, so I have to consider that.
But been there before.
We usually do the C-note, Cowboys news of the evening. Yeah, he texted me and said, Osuna's coming at 3:20. I said, okay, Osuna at 3:20, bang, we're there. And then, you know, it didn't happen. Sometimes you get called into a meeting, right? Yeah. It's just like, hey, there's more important things than talking with the guys at the Fan, unfortunately.
Barely.
But, I mean, there's nothing more important for me.
Right.
Getting the chance to talk to my new favorite Ranger.
Exactly. I knew how excited you were for this.
So hopefully we can link back up with him here before too long. Okay, usually we do the C-note in here, the Cowboys news of the evening. And we'll do a full segment of that coming up at 4:20. But I wanted to give you some George Pickens here because Brian's buddy Mike Tannenbaum, the former GM of the Jets, current NFL analyst, ESPN, was talking about the contract year factor, Brian, and he mentioned guys that had great years for him when he was a GM in New York, Santonio Holmes, Braylon Edwards, and believes, you know, Pickens going to score points. You can't double Lamb, Ferguson, Pickens, thinks he's going to have an exceptionally good year.
Sure.
And I love that. I think
you're going to get the best version of him.
Yeah.
I mean, when it just comes to having to deal with, now, I say that, but let's see what happens in week 7 or week 10 when things, maybe you have a tough loss and he doesn't get the ball. Are we going to, you know, is that where you're going to start to hear? But I think you're going to get the absolute best version of him of not being a complainer, because I guarantee you David Mulugeta said, listen, you've got to, like, hold your tongue.
It's going to make you more aware in those moments of frustration. Like, man, if I could just hold my tongue here, it might be worth $5 million. That's an easy tongue hold.
Exactly. Yeah, if you hold your tongue, we might make an extra $10 to $12 million off this. Absolutely.
And because of that, and because I don't know the next time you're going to have two wide receivers this good, if you've ever had two this good, like Alvin Harper and Michael Irvin, maybe. I would struggle to find any situation. Maybe there was a T.O. Miles Austin couple of games that was comparable.
Amari and CD.
You don't keep it around for long when you have this. I think you have 1 year of George Pickens. He provides answers that are going to allow you to run with a light box. You got to go for it, Jerry. Yeah, now I understand you're not going to go for it like the Eagles. Spend just another $12 million. Get a defensive tackle. Get a veteran corner. Is it Hilton or is it Gilmore?
Mike
I don't
Hilton,
know.
Sure.
There's a number of names out there. There's three or four veteran corners that are out there. Yeah. Fuller, I guess, is out there.
Fuller's
still.
Fuller's out there too. Yeah.
You know, and
what the hell happened to him, man?
Isn't it possible they're close with all they've done? How many players away are they right now from saying, like, hey, they could beat the Eagles in the division?
I would probably put the number at, I'd probably put it at four players. I would say probably four players
you're
away.
You're probably thinking left tackle. You're thinking one technique. You're thinking corner. And are you thinking a linebacker or safety?
I'm thinking about, I mean, you could go a few different directions.
Or running
you might
back?
Need a running back.
Running back, yeah. That's a good point.
Might need a runner.
Good point.
So, Wolchuk, you don't believe? You don't believe Pickens provides the path?
I think that they could win the division this year.
Okay.
I absolutely.
Dak's getting older, right? Yeah. And the play he injured himself on last year should tell you this ain't going to hold together. If we have anything left of Dak's window, it's sooner than later. We're not going to drag this thing out till 2030 and try with a 35-year-old Dak Prescott that can't stay together at 31. Mm-hmm. We got to do this now.
Mm-hmm.
And George Pickens fell in our lap for $3 million. How do we maximize that?
That's true.
Because we have $80 million worth of receiver that mm-hmm. we're getting for significantly less.
Sure.
Plus Jake Ferguson. You know, if running back doesn't work, I'd trade for a running back. But I think you can get veteran corner and one technique tackle for under $10 million of single your payroll, you know? I couldn't imagine, because I think once you get that, now you can buy time till Diggs and Overshown get back. You have enough depth. The schedule isn't that tough for the first 8 weeks of the season. And if the running game works, I think that the dynamics could be significantly different. Otherwise, you're just going to have a year where George Pickens scores like 8 touchdowns and gets 1,100 yards and goes and wins somewhere or goes and gets paid somewhere else. And you don't really have anything to show for it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
This is similar to having a quarterback on a rookie deal. It's about 2/3 of that impact. You got, not only is it a veteran a wide receiver, but it's a guy who's still very, very young. And NFL teams are not going to be able to match up single cornerbacks. There might only be a half dozen of them or so around the NFL that you'd be confident that can slow down George Pickens. Okay, Krusty's Corner's coming up next. Brian, where are you taking us?
Yeah, is the quarterback really this bad? We'll talk about that next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Thank you very much, Lucius. It's the G-Bag Nation here on your home of the Rangers. Alejandro Osuna is coming up in 1 hour now. Just had to reschedule that bad boy. Young guy. A lot of important stuff to do as he prepares to play his third big league game tonight. Pregame at 6:30, first pitch at 7 o'clock as the Rangers series with Toronto continues. The Nation continues. It's time for Krusty's Corner, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. We do have Greg Wyshynski coming up at 4 to talk about this Stars game, Brian. A massive sports day. Here's Krusty.
Thank you very much, General. Appreciate that. This was funny. I was looking at the Avis rent-a-car thing that we have to get for training camp.
Now, we got to remember this time, we are not waiting for the Avis shuttle at LAX.
Well, right? We're going to be saved this time, right? Because, Brian, you're going to be out there before us.
I'm going to be out there.
So we actually get the VIP treatment. Brian's going to pick us up.
I'm going to pick you up.
Thank you.
But what's interesting about this, have you ever looked at all the charges? Have you ever looked at the charges they hit you up with? I see why they can build stadiums and stuff.
Oh, yeah, $29 a day.
Yeah.
And then it's really $129 a day.
You know what? I mean, I'm like, okay, well, this is very reasonable. And, you know, I'm paying for it, but then I get it back. That kind of thing, you know?
Yeah, sure.
You expense it. But, man, I was just looking at what, like, corporations have to pay, I guess, as expenses if you rent it or if you just rent the car.
Yeah.
Like these, like, there's like this, it's like a, just like this service fee for like $80.
Mm-hmm.
Cause, you know, I had the vehicle for a long time, like 3 weeks, 2 weeks, something like that. But it's just crazy that, and you see why that, like, they're able to make, like, build stadiums and stuff. Like, oh, we'll have the visitor's tax and all that.
Sure.
Yeah. I'm like, cool. Okay. If I'm paying.
Yeah. Service fee. You got to vacuum it for the next guy, which is called you just managing your business.
It literally, there's for the.
You got to vacuum it for the next guy.
Like DXU, processing fee. This is how it's supposed to go. What do you mean processing fee? I'll bring it down there to you then, buddy.
It's seriously, it's crazy that you just look at him like, how much are we paying for all this extra stuff that means absolutely it has nothing to do with the car, I think, being rented.
It's horrible with concert tickets and sporting event tickets because you really can't get a great understanding of what it's really going
to
cost you.
The other day when I got the ticket for Zach and I was looking at it and I was thinking, okay, that's a reasonably priced ticket. And then I go, okay, what's the fees?
Mm-hmm.
How much am I going to have to pay half more for the ticket for the fee and all that, but it worked out fine.
Sorry, we didn't get the win for you.
Nah, it's okay. I mean, the last time they won, I had this hat on and I didn't wear it the last two games.
Oh, well, geez. Let's get the hat. There we go. 2-0.
Problem solved.
Get the shit out of the last time.
I'm surprised you're admitting that.
Sounds like stars and six to me.
I just, you know what? I'm sorry.
I appreciate your apology.
I kind of felt like that. I'm like, okay, I wore the hat on the radio. We got the win. And then I'm like, okay, I'm not going to, this is cool. We'll be fine. Now, after the two law, I'm like, okay, something's up there. So the hat's on today.
Hashtag do your part, man.
I'm trying, man. Seriously, I'd block shots if they let me.
Yeah. You'd be a mean goalie.
If you had to play in a game tonight, though, real quick, if you had to play in a game and you had to play like, as like a forward or a defenseman, do you think you can block shots?
Not at all.
You think you can?
I wouldn't even be able to stay on my own two skates.
Would you like be on the ground a lot and they would hit you that way?
Yes.
Or, yeah, you got to learn to skate for 2 years before you can play hockey.
I could skate, but I don't think I could skate well enough to play.
Get down. No. You got to get down on one knee and turn to the side.
I can't skate backwards. I can skate forwards fairly well. You're talking to a guy when, listen to this, 1980 when the United States beat Russia in that game.
Lake Placid.
I remember like it was yesterday.
We had a ton to drink. A ton to drink after that. Like, we watched it. We went out to Prestonwood, the mall, where they have an ice skating rink, and went out there and skated. And, like, we're running into people and stuff like that.
That's what's giving you the confidence that you could skate with the big boys
tonight? I could skate. I could actually.
How many times have you ice skated in your life?
Oh, plenty.
That was the last time.
What about within the last 10 years?
Probably twice.
Okay. All right.
I know how to lace up the skates. I don't have like Bauer hockey skates or anything like that.
Are these like first dates? Or like, no. At what point are you deciding? At 50 plus years old.
Yeah, when Bennett was a kid, like a little kid, he wanted to skate. I went out there with him.
You tore it up.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have to hold on to the rail or anything. I could actually skate, push around. And
now I'll believe it when I see it.
We'll go out and skate right now.
Let's go right now.
Let's go find some I would.
I'd
ice,
absolutely go skate right
go
now.
Go find a barn.
Yeah. But I was just wondering how many shots you could block.
I think I could block a shot. But it would just be because I'm in the way.
Would you have
it
a better
be
chance?
Any skill involved.
It would better be a chance at a as a goalie or a positional player.
A goalie. I mean, with all those pads, I'm almost as big as the goal.
You be a goalie? Could you be a goalie?
I'd have a better chance than a position player.
I would give up double digit goals. McDavid would have his way with me between the pipes.
Can I just get some regular sandpaper shoes or something though? Like
No. You have to be on skates. You have to be on goalie skates.
Some sandpaper.
I'd be on my
shoes.
Back more than I'd be on my skates.
Some golf spikes.
But, you know, you could play. I mean, you watch these goalies. A lot of them play like they're on one knee. You're kind of just sliding around. Another thing
I wouldn't be able to pull off.
Getting the butterfly.
Just the flexibility, getting down, getting up.
That's right. McDavid's breaking speed limits.
Are you kidding me?
A back of like a 78-year-old guy,
You wouldn't be able to see the puck. You can't track it.
Here's my thing. Is like I don't know how these guys are out there trying to block pucks without their entire head protected. Like Jamie Benn with no visor paid the price the other night.
Yeah, took a stick.
As I'm going down for that, that puck could be on my jaw or the back of my head. It could hit my neck. It hit my jugular.
Guy got hit in the ear the other day. Yeah.
I don't think I can get past that mentally. You know?
I mean,
I'm dropping down here to try to get hit.
I'm trying to avoid the puck. As I'm supposed to be blocking it, I'm going the other direction.
Getting the other way.
So you're just like.
I give myself 0% chance. I haven't been on ice skates since like fourth grade.
But put you in the goalie helmet. Now I just got to get in position.
I think I could stop a puck as a goalie.
I feel safe.
I think I could.
Well, you got that neck dangler thing.
I mean, Broadus is big enough to.
I'm tall enough, I think, and wide enough. Yeah.
I think you'd have a better chance.
Maybe
from
they
that
tie
standpoint.
You in there like Goldberg and the Mighty Ducks.
You'd
block a couple of shots. You'd let a few in, a lot in.
I think I'm making up. I don't think I could block a shot. What am I talking about?
There's no way I could block a shot.
I could try.
Back to reality.
All right, Pro Football Focus. What do you think? They broke down their quarterbacks, all 32 quarterbacks. Man, I think there's some people that are going to agree with this one. I think there's some people that agree with this.
Did they have like any criteria, or were they just going based on their...
Oh, yeah, they did. They got him in tears.
Oh, tears.
Our favorite thing, the tears.
The tears.
Love a good
tear. I hope this is a rerun situation.
Oh,
I
got a tear here, eh?
Is this a rerun situation?
What do you mean?
Are you re-racking on the Pro Football Focus quarterback ranking?
I have heard some tears from PFF, but I wasn't sure if it was another show, you know?
I'm not re-racking this.
No, I don't believe you are. I was just hopeful that you were, but I don't believe you are. I'm sure you have something new to the table other than saying Dak is ranked 17th.
Did I do that?
I think you did.
I think I did.
Somebody did.
I think I might have last week.
We've talked. I know the morning show, I heard them talk about this.
All right,
so
let me ask you this.
I was confused for a moment if we had talked about this or if somebody else had talked about this.
Dawson, did you talk about this?
I think I did. Maybe last
Dawson's
Tuesday?
Got my back here.
Maybe Wednesday?
Jeez, it's been that long?
He might have brought it up.
It was
up.
At some point last week. It could have been Friday for all I know.
Is that fair?
Actually, I think we played the Pickens game on Friday.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Did George Pickens say this?
Yeah, that's what I thought.
We might not have done it in Krusty's Corner, but this has been discussed, I think.
There is so much stuff, right? And you're doing so much stuff.
No, I'm not.
I can't tell what conversation.
Hey, by the way, bravo to the announcement, by the way, dude. Yeah, I mean, it was a great Friday tease. That thing was huge.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
I woke my wife up out of her sleep to tell her.
I appreciate
you. She was hyped.
Very kind. All right, but did we ever talk about, is that fair for him? Is 17th fair for him? I felt like we didn't. Maybe we...
Slow.
I kind of feel like it's slow
based
for him.
Based on last season.
Based on... How about based on last season,
that might be high.
How about just his career? I mean, is that... I mean,
his career is generally a top 10 quarterback. Yeah, closer to 10, obviously, 10, yeah. than one. But
how
now...
Trevor Lawrence is a better quarterback right now than Dak Prescott?
No, sir.
I'd take Dak.
Oof.
Kyler Murray right now?
Kyler Murray.
You take Kyler Murray right now?
Yeah, I would. I think the health is important. The age is important. Now, if I have to win just one game, yeah, I'd probably still go on
Kyler. I wonder if they're even fair to C.J. Stroud. They got him at 14.
That was a sophomore slump, dealing with some injuries, bad offense.
Awful offensive line.
Yeah, I would rather have C.J. Stroud, though. I'm confident if I'm building a team. I think for one game, Dak versus C.J. about equal.
Okay, let me just walk the tiers then.
I think they've already won the same amount of playoff games.
Let me walk these tiers then. I apologize, folks. I didn't mean to be doing that.
No, it's a good conversation. I'm always up for some Dak, you know, where
okay,
you put him.
Of course he's not going to be tier one elite, right?
No, we're not going to be
well,
elite. Lamar,
yeah,
Josh, Burrow,
Mahomes. He was the runner-up for MVP 2 years ago. Show him some damn respect, guys.
I like what you're doing, Wolchek, over there.
You're a sick man.
Tier two high-end starters.
This is where he was, I think, pre-injury. But and maybe there's one of these in here that
makes a better fit. Okay, in that high-end starters, then Jalen Hurts.
I'd rather have Dak. I'd rather have Daniels.
Matthew Stafford.
I'd rather have Stafford.
Herbert.
I'd rather have Herbert.
Herbert doesn't need to be in these. Oh.
But he's young and healthy.
Like, Herbert's the next one. Dak could be 17.
Herbert's like
next
the Rangers year. Lineup. We keep hoping and hoping and hoping he's going to be the guy, and it just has never happened.
Dak built his reputation by being a guy that would run when you gave him the opportunity, and since he's turned that down, he does not belong in the top 10 for me.
T- Tier 3A, they like to say here. Solid starters who have flashed high-end play.
That's probably where he should be.
Yeah, okay. That makes sense.
Well, he's not going to be in that group.
Yeah, well, then they're doing him a disservice.
Jared Goff.
Yeah.
How about that? Geno Smith.
See, he's better than Geno Smith.
They got Geno Smith as the 10th best quarterback in this thing.
Yeah.
I mean, he is one of the most accurate quarterbacks in the sport. His big-time throws are off the charts, and he's not perpetually injured. I think Dak
is... You'd rather have Geno Smith? I'm just asking. Geno Smith?
I mean, it's like, it's basically, to me, it's like a...
It's a wash?
Either one. Yeah, no one has the quarterback advantage in that game.
They got Brock Purdy in this list. I don't think they're respecting Brock Purdy at all.
I really just don't know how good Brock Purdy is. I think he is in like the top half of the league, but I don't know if he's where... Like, I mean, I'd probably take Dak and Purdy. Geno has some good moments, no doubt, but I think... Geno's a guy that's going to win 9-10 games. Purdy might be able to eventually elevate himself past that.
Is Purdy only good because his players around him were good?
Well, because, yeah, we've seen him struggle when he hasn't had the star roster around him. It's not like he's been able to make up for the deficiencies of his team when there's an injury. And that's kind of always been the knock on Dak.
Yeah. How about this Tier 3B? Solid starters, but they need more help.
Yeah, I think that's fair about Dak. Like, I don't know why the Cowboys decided we're going to try to team build without a great running game. Like, at some point they say, wow, Dak is so good, we don't need a good running game. And I'm like, what games are you watching? And they got away from that, but I think they're getting back to that. So I would say Dak belongs here, good player, but needs more help.
Okay, that's Jordan Love. Are they right about Jordan Love here?
Jordan
Love is inconsistent.
Yeah, he's inconsistent.
Baker Mayfield.
Now, Baker should be higher than this.
C.J. Stroud, I mentioned him. Kyler Murray, I mentioned him. Trevor Lawrence, I mentioned him. This is where Dak Prescott falls in at 17. He's right ahead of Tua.
Yeah, somewhere in that range of what, 13 to 17? Is that I mean, he's significantly better than Tua, isn't he? That's somewhat disrespectful.
When he was at his best,
Tua's a good comp, yeah.
Yeah,
I have a problem with Geno Smith at 10. I'm sorry, that's just me.
Yeah, I mean, I'm putting Dak ahead of Geno. I think they both played up to about the best they could play against each other in that Thursday night game a couple of years ago, and Dak won.
And Pro Football Focus is going to give extra love to, I'm accurate. My stats say I'm good. Watch a Geno Smith game, and I think there's a lot of missed
opportunities. They say, real quick, I know I got to go here. I'm sorry about this, but he protects the football and has a knack for generating big-time throws.
Okay.
That's what they're saying about Geno Smith.
Well, he's definitely done his share of winning and has had a nice career. It'll be interesting to see what happens there with his buddy Carroll there with the Raiders now. Greg Wyshynski, thank you, Brian.
Tomorrow we're going to talk about where Dak was ranked in these.
Can't wait.
Krusty's Corner brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning.
Senior moment that was.
I'm always up for it. I had a senior moment over the weekend. I'll have to tell you about it.
Embarrassing. No.
Greg Wyshynski joins us next year. The Puck Daddy Stars with you here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.